الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبي السيئات الحسنة تمحها، خالق الناس بالخلق الحسن. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders, we had been discussing seeking of istighfar and seeking forgiveness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repentance from sins. How easy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it for us to remain upon the path of piety and taqwa. Whenever a person falls into sin, then a person should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask for forgiveness in his court and repentance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies him from that sin. He becomes absolutely clean. We had mentioned a taiba min azam kaman la zambala. Person that makes tawbah from a sin is like a person that has not sinned at all. Completely free, completely clean, and completely cleansed from sin. And this is as simple as making wudu. People mention, how does a person remain in wudu at all times? Make the wudu and remain in wudu. The moment the wudu breaks, go back and make the wudu. You'll be with wudu all the time. So how does a person remain on taqwa? How does a person remain cleansed from sin? Make tawbah, istighfar, and remain on that. And thereafter, if you fall into sin, come back. Come back and make tawbah and istighfar and renew your pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and cleanse yourself and purify yourself from sin. And as we mentioned previously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tire. One is a person, a father who forgives his son once, forgives him twice, forgives him three times, forgives him four times, five, six, seven, eight times. He has a certain limit. Thereafter he says, don't come in front of me, I do not wish to see you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do that. It was once, I think, Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah alayh, and it was a servant that he was reprimanding, and he became very disturbed at the behavior of that servant, at the mistake that he was doing. It was on this, I think, that Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullah alayh told him that you should overlook, as much as you would like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overlook your faults, that amount of times you should overlook this servant as well. They are working for us, they are servants. We are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we wish to be forgiven over and over and over again. So we should also overlook the faults, the deficiencies, or the shortcomings of the people that are subordinate to us. That amount of times that we have hope in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our forgiveness. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so easy for us. In fact, there's a share of Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Sahib Majzoob, that if you cannot chitna kar sake naske pehlwan ku, if you cannot overpower this, if you cannot overpower this wrestler of the nafs, in other words, we are fighting with the nafs every day. The nafs commands us to do evil, like the Quran says, inna nafsa la ammaratum bisu, tells you to do this evil and that evil and that evil. And on the other hand, we are suppressing the nafs. No, this is against the order of Allah. This is against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is against the teaching of the Quran. We are suppressing the nafs. So this wrestle and battle is continuing between ourselves and the nafs. Every day, nafs prompts us to do something, but we are saying no, we're suppressing ourselves. And we're saying no, Allah is watching. Allah is aware. It is against the command of Allah. The anger of Allah will come upon us. There are hundreds of ways for a person to save himself. Then what happens? He says, if you cannot overpower, you cannot overpower the nafs, chit na kar sake nafs ke pehlwan ko, to heart pair you be dile na dale. He says, if that is the case, then do not show absolute weakness before the nafs, that you are just standing there, whatever the nafs prompts you to do, takes you whatever path it takes you to go, you go in that path, and you go against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You not think for a moment, like we had mentioned the last incident, about those five factors that Shaykh Ibrahim bin Adham Rahimullah had mentioned before that young person: the rosy that's given to me by Allah, the land that I'm living in, the place that I dwell in, from Allah. I am in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24 hours out of 24. Malikul Maut comes to me, I cannot delay it even for a second. And if the angels of Jahannam, Allah save us, come and take us and throw us into Jahannam, then we are absolutely weak and helpless before them. We are not conscious that we are so weak before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do not stand heart where you need delay na dale. Don't leave your hands and fight back. Fight the nafs, fight the nafs, fight the shaitan, fight the environment. Thereafter he mentions that ye kushti zindagi barki hai. Kabhi wo dale, kabhi wo dabao, kabhi tum dabao. Says this wrestle will continue right throughout our lives, right up to the end of life. The shaitan and nafs will come and prompt you to do evil. Sometimes they will overpower you, sometimes you will overpower them. But a banda is a person that continues on the path of piety, continues on the path of piety. Aur ye rishta muhabbat ka qaim hi rakhe, agar 100 baar toote to 100 baar jore. That this contact that you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that link of muhabbat and love with Allah, then you should establish it all the time. Agar 100 baar toote to 100 baar jore. Then if it breaks 100 times, then rejoin it, reconcile it 100 times. In other words, if you break this contact with Allah, you become disloyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turn away and come back and ask for tawbah and istighfar all the time in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and try and remain steadfast upon piety. Try and remain steadfast upon taqwa. And this word of taqwa over here, Allah ta'ala grant me and all of us the reality of taqwa. In the Holy Quran, we know that salat is mentioned over about 80 times in the Quran, that establish salat. And if you look at taqwa also, it is mentioned in the Holy Quran that the word wattaqullah appears about 30 times in the Quran. Wattaqullah in different occasions, different places. And fattaqullah 16 times in the Quran. 16 times in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says fattaqullah. There's hardly any difference between the two. There's a grammatical difference in the meaning. There isn't much difference. Otherwise, over 46 times, about 46 times in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala tells us, fear Allah, adopt taqwa, adopt piety. And it is arranged again with different ayats. Different ayats of the Holy Quran mention that fear Allah and see that your speech is correct. Fear Allah and look at tomorrow, what you have sent forth for tomorrow. Fear Allah and remember that you're going to be returning to Him. Salam ulama mentioned here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the very reasons for you to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some say it is a means of establishing this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fattaqullah wa kunu ma'a sadiqeen. Fear Allah and be with the truthful ones. Here the ulama kiram mentioned, it means that be with the pious people so that you can get this taqwa. Where do you get this taqwa? From the people that are muttaqeen. People that are pious. Here the sadiqeen mentioned, and sadiqeen ulaika alladhina sadaqu wa ulaika humul muttaqoon. Who are the truthful ones? Those are the ones that are upon piety, that are upon righteousness, that are true and loyal servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our respected Shaykh Dawud Barakatuh mentions, what is taqwa? Taqwa is wafadari. Taqwa is loyalty. Taqwa is faithfulness. Taqwa is total allegiance to somebody. That is taqwa to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person is absolutely faithful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under all circumstances. And this is the life of the awliya. You look at them, whether they are whether it is Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayh, whether it is Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayh, who has a great kingdom, whether it is people that are, they have nothing to go by, under all circumstances, in all places, they have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they establish the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One place is mentioned about Mawlana Masihullah rahmatullah alayh. Some person tried to save him, I think he was going to sit someplace, Hazrat Abgir Najai. He said, I'm not worried about the musibat, I'm worried about the masiyat. I'm worried about the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Under no circumstances should I be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's mentioned that one lady had lost her children, and when she had come there also she had maintained a hijab, she had maintained a haya, had maintained everything. It does not mean that the person is in extreme joy or the person is in extreme grief, then the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah forbid, are thrown abroad. No. This is the test of life, and this is the test of this dunya. Whatever conditions the person comes in this dunya with, then a person is faithful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Faithful and is loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He fulfills the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is explicitly mentioned, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. Allah ta'ala tells us, we'll bring about conditions of prosperity, conditions of adversity, conditions of ease and happiness, conditions of hardness, and difficulty and hardship. Why? Fitna. In order to try you and to test you, in order to see whether you are You remain consistent on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you maintain that taqwa. One other place he mentions, what is taqwa? A person gets an urge to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This varies in our life. You can study our life. Sometimes it is living out salat. Sometimes it is speaking against the order of Allah. Sometimes it is looking at the wrong place. Sometimes it is listening to something that is not correct. A person gets that urge to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes it's taking interest. Sometimes it's giving bribery. Sometimes it's doing cheating and fraud and fraudulent activities. Whatever the type of masiyat, there is a need, an urge comes into him. Disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To suppress that urge. To suppress that urge is taqwa. In other words, not to fulfill one's desires, base desires, not to fulfill one's things, one's demands of the nafs that go against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to suppress them, this is taqwa. And this is taqwa. And through that, the awliya mentioned that a noor is created in the heart. A noor and light is created in the heart. In fact, our mashayikh mentioned that guna se bachna, ye to siddiqeen ki ghiza hai. This is the food. This is the sustenance of the siddiqeen and pious people to do what? To abstain from evil. They say that to carry out good actions, to read 2 rakat salat, to read a few siparas of the Quran, etc., to give a little action, few rands in sadaqah and charity, etc., this is easy, relatively. What is difficult is to suppress the nafs. What is difficult is to abstain from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is nur al-taqwa. When a person does that, then a nur is created. A light is created, is generated in the heart of the people. And this actually is the way of the siddiqeen and pious people. And a person draws very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, becomes very mahbub to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can look at this in the light of the awliya kiram, in the light of the anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. What did they say? Rabbi shijdu ahabbu ilayhi mimma yad'unani ilayhi. Oh Allah, to go into the prison is more better, more loved, more desirable, more liked and cherished to me, is close to me, than carrying out the evil action that this lady is calling me towards, and this desires of the nafs that this lady is calling me towards, to go into prison is much better for me. Why? Because the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the heart. That is why to carry out a sin becomes extremely difficult for a person. And as I mentioned, that this taqwa is something that a person will have to carry out throughout our lives. We will have to be trying to adopt this taqwa in our lives, in our daily lives, and to check our lives whether we've got this taqwa or not. Similarly, we find that the order of taqwa is mentioned in the Quran over and over again by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And together with that, if you look at the rewards of taqwa also, are mentioned over and over in so many places of the Holy Quran, what a person gets when he becomes a pious person. What a person gets when he gets taqwa. And in reality, what is taqwa? Is taqwa this that we wear the sunnat ghab? Is taqwa this that we bend down and be very humble to a person? Or we put display our outward appearance, it looks like appearance of a pious person? No, this may be part of taqwa, or this may be the effect of taqwa. But taqwa is what? A taqwa hahuna. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed towards the heart and said, this is the place of taqwa. The taqwa actually is in the heart. When the person fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the person is faithful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person is conscious of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wishes to remain steadfast, then that has to come from the heart. If it is from the motivation is from any outside force, because of my ustad, because of my environment, because of my wife and children, because of certain factors, then that does not remain. It withers away. That's why we find some hadith has mentioned that a person should remain muttaqi fi sirri wal alan. While he is sitting with the people also, he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he's sitting alone, in isolation, aloof and everything, then also he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then also he does not carry out any sin. That is the taqwa that is motivated. The driving force is from the heart. That's why Rasulullah s.a.w. pointed towards the heart and said, At-taqwa hahuna, this is where taqwa emanates. This is where taqwa comes out. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to derive from the pious people and from the salihin, to sit in the gatherings and to get this ni'mat of taqwa, the fear and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherein a person abstains absolutely from sin and thereafter remains upon sin. Somebody asked, Umar radiallahu anhu, what is taqwa? Can you describe it to me? Many times we find parables given in the hadith and the Quran. Parables are given in the Quran and hadith for the person to enable an easy understanding. of the subject that's under discussion. Here has Umar radiallahu anhu gave a very beautiful reply, which is so easy for a person to understand. He mentioned words to this effect, or he mentioned what meant to this effect, that there's a pathway leading from one place to another, and it's thorny on both sides. There are thorny bushes or trees, etc., or shrubs on both sides. Now a person has to pass through that pathway. He has to go through that path and got to go through that road. And on both sides there are thorns. What will happen? He will have to save himself from both sides, from the right and from the left, save himself from the thorns, pricking his body, pricking his clothing, etc., and getting entangled and stuck into his clothing. He will have to be very, very cautiously treading on that path in order to safely reach his destination. What a beautiful example. This dunya is filled up with all the thorny and prickly thorns of all the sins and temptations and all the things that we see around us that tempt us to go towards evil. Now a person, from the day he comes into this dunya till the day he leaves this dunya, he should cautiously keep himself away from this sin, from the thorn of that sin, from the evil effect of that sin, and from every sin, save himself from those thorns and safely guard himself and go away. And this can become very easily when he is linked with the pious people, when he is linked with the salihin, with the awliya, then becomes very easy for him. Why? Because that power is created in his heart. He is empowered now. He gets the strength through the love and barakat, through the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through the barakat of the gathering of the pious people. Then he is encouraged, so to say, now to walk very easily. Why? Those people guide him also and tell him, like how we guide a little child, ki beta samne mat jao, is taraf a jao, wa patthar hai, wa aag hai, this is there. Similarly, Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has placed it out in the Quran that this is wrong for you, this is bad for you, this is haram for you, this is destructive for you, this is harmful, detrimental for you. All that is spelled out for us. It is now for us to take the hand of the pious people, stay in the company of pious people, to enable this pathway of ours from the time of birth right up to the time of death to step and walk in such a way, cautious way, that we are safe from all the thorns. That we are safe from all the thorns. And if any thorn gets into us also, then we should not get stuck right there. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking for forgiveness, and then continue more cautiously on that path. In such an easy manner, a person remains upon taqwa and leaves his dunya upon taqwa. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he, as far as taqwa is concerned, mentioned it even more. This was a very easy example for people to understand. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu expressed it in even more detail. Even more detail, he mentions that there are four parts of taqwa. The first part or demand of taqwa is this, or the meaning of taqwa is that, that a person fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khawf min al-Jaleel, to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most magnificent, the most greatest, to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And reality, the word taqwa also, taqwa actually comes from that root word of fear, actually means fear, to establish the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we all know, when the fear of something grips somebody, when the text man is behind somebody, then we know what happens to his life. When we know somebody is after a person's life, what happens to him? When somebody, some enemy is behind him, what happens to him? Be chain or be kharar, wherever he is, sukoon or chain nahi hai. Similarly, when a person has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is watching me, Allah is aware of my actions. Wa huwa ma'akum ayna ma kuntum. Like our respected Shaykh mentions, that these two ayats, if they can be in uppermost in our mind at all times, then a person will become conscious of the magnificence and greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa huwa ma'akum ayna ma kuntum. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you wherever you are. Jahan ke bhi tum chale jao, Allah tumhare saath hai. And alam ya'alam bi anna Allah yara. Does insan not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at him? Kya insan nahi janta ke Allah mujhe dekhta hai? If these two ayats are there, then a person will save himself from sin. It will become easy for him to save himself from sin. Why? Because he is ever conscious of the greatness of Allah, of the power of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me, Allah is aware of my actions, Allah knows everything that is happening to me. I cannot go out of the sight and qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he mentions the first thing is to establish the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you want to establish the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq, open the Holy Quran. Look at the power and qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at what happened to the previous nations. Look at what they possessed. Things that we cannot even dream of, they had possessed. But before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they could not stand. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destroyed them in so many different ways. You want to look at the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Look at the qudrat around us. Look at the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the vast creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the human body. Look at the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes it's just one nerve that does not work. And what happens? That person is absolutely, he cannot move anything. He cannot move anything absolutely. Why? Because one nerve, something has gone wrong. It's just one nerve. The late Didat, Allah ta'ala make maghfirat of him. Ahmad Didat, the famous Ahmad Didat, when we had last gone to see him, his son had told us he could only lift his eyes, could only have movement of his eyes. What had gone wrong with him? He said, only one nerve. It's thinner than a hair. Something had gone wrong with that. This is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his qudrat is so much that we cannot understand and we cannot comprehend it fully. And we'll never be able to comprehend it fully. Why? Because it is unlimited and our faculties are so limited. So we should ponder into the qudrat of Allah and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the previous nations. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is independent and free of every human being and every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is absolutely ghani from every creation. Think of the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then this fear will dawn upon the heart. This was the first part of taqwa. This is developed. Then a person, inshallah, it becomes easy for him to abstain from the prohibitions of the Quran, in the provisions mentioned by Allah in the Quran and Hadith, and for him to fulfill the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah, we'll continue. Wa akhir da'wan, alhamdulillah.